we still have one more event for the month. The 6th Street Record CD release party is at 6 p.m. at Blackbird, 1431 Park Avenue. CDs and screen-printed patches will be for sale to help raise money for new instruments. Jonathan Richman will be performing live, and we will also have youth performances. We hope that you can come support the youth and help them to gain access to more music opportunities.
Once again, that 6th Street CD release party is Wednesday the 29th, 1 week from today. And that will be at 6 p.m. at Blackbird, 1431 Park Avenue, Chico.
A quick runaway and homeless youth fact. Youth who have been involved in the foster care system are more likely to become homeless at an earlier age and remain homeless for a longer period of time. Youth aging out of the foster care system often have little or no income support, limited housing options, and are at a higher risk to end up on the streets. And nationally, 50% of the homeless population spent their time in foster care. You can help end the cycle of youth homelessness in our community by supporting local service providers such as HEART, 6th Street Center, School Ties, and Stonewall Alliance Center by donating, volunteering, and spreading the word. You can find more information about the Runaway and Homeless Youth Month events by visiting www.6thstreetcenter.org.
What would you say to the folks of Reading as a Thanksgiving wish, Tammy?
I would hope that all the homeless people out there had a place to stay and a roof over their head, and that everybody is happy and well.
Something you'd like to tell people of Reading for Thanksgiving, how to help people that are down and out?
Jesus is alive and well. Jesus never fails to be there on time. He's always there when the sun's going up, when the sun's going down. Jesus is alive and well. My Jesus is alive and well. Tell everyone you see, oh, tell them for me, Jesus is alive and well.
My one wish would be that, you know, everyone has a good meal on Thanksgiving. You know, everyone's able to be with, you know, friends or some sort of family or anything like that.
Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Hope you all have a wonderful day.
And a bunch of people here are because of the Lunch Bunch. Give me five. Lunch Bunch does dinner. They do whatever they need to do out here.
Yep.
God bless you guys.
And that if I could give one wish to somebody, it would be the Make-A-Wish Foundation. For the children that want their last wish, mm-hmm. whether it be with their moms and dads, whether it be Disneyland, wherever.
Blessings. Awesome. I'll give you a hug. I've been doing hugs. I gave Lester a hug.
Tell everyone you see, oh, tell them for me, Jesus is alive and well.
Hey, man, give me a hug.
Yeah.
You're awesome.
All right, man. Yeah, my mash here with the Day Before Thanksgiving Without a Roof radio program. I had done a street interviews. I was in Redding, California. I stayed in a house for 2 days, but I was living on the streets for like four straight days. And that was all filmed within the houseless community in Redding, California. Huge shout out to Lester, man. Jesus is alive and well. Somebody beat the crap out of that poor guy. He's about 70 years old just because they could. Sam Keller. All right, I'm adding this post-show just to make sure the folks know that Sam Keller, who you're going to be hearing from in just a second, is part of the houseless community here in Chico, California, and will be representing the voice of the houseless at the November 29th Chico Speaks discussion series on homelessness. That'll be 7 to 9 p.m. at Cafe Coda on Humboldt Ave here in Chico. Welcome to the studio, Sam Keller.
Hey,
you know, what do you think
me.
About that, dude? I mean, you know, when I see that, it just makes my blood boil, man.
Well, see, when I see an act of violence, I try to understand like the other why the other person did it. I'm from the other side of the country, but I could understand growing up in this region that you could literally almost blame every issue or gripe that you could ever have on these people, and you subjugate them and you put them into one class, and you hurt them like animals, and just push them to the outskirts, and make it criminalize the. Just the right to exist, and then like, of course, these people are going to lash out on them.
Yeah,
like that's growing up like that. You would imagine your dad being like, just every time he's mad about anything, that's to blame.
Yeah, but I've interviewed people who've been set on fire, that have been kicked,
And worse. And speaking of worse, you know, I just found out Sam Keller. I used to do outreach, man, by the bike path there near Cohasset. There's three chronically homeless people that live there. That was 4 years ago, give or take, a little over. All three of them have passed on. And the last person was a little bit tough, man. Jeff Newland, he was born in 1966. But I want to play this. This is one of my more gripping pieces that I filmed. And what you're going to hear coming up is I'd literally done a piece underneath the bridge where, once again, a homeless person was beat up by kids. And his name was Billy Abernathy. He was struck and killed on Esplanade about a year ago. But I'm going to play this, man. We can you know, share some bread and some love for, you know, three human beings that died young. They probably died at an average age, Sam Keller. Chronically homeless, they died in their mid-50s, early 50s, you know.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
God's with me.
So is sex.
Sex.
That's about the biggest smile you're going to get.
My name is Jeff Newland. I was born Friday the 13th, 1966, in Enloe Hospital. I'm a longtime Chico resident. And I'm homeless in my hometown. And there is no homeless services. I went through two rehabs. I graduated and came home to homeless. There's nothing I can do but drink just to sleep on the rocks. I want shelter for people that are in the middle of addiction, that can be responsible but also have a little blood alcohol, because we're going to die without it. And if you provide porta potties and sanitary conditions and a large enough space where we can, like, pitch a tent or have a 20-foot square or something. I don't know what you want to do. It can be a lotto ticket. You get a 20-foot square if you come in sober. Or I don't know.
Bless you, Jeff.
Play it out for us. But we need a place to sleep. Cops are getting tired of us. They know it's my name. They know my birthday.
Well, bless you, Jeff. Any last words?
Yes. Please help the homeless. We're out here struggling for our lives.
God. All right, Jeff Newland, man. Rest in peace. What do you have to say around that? You know, three men, you know, able-bodied. I know, but knew their backstories. All of them had, you know, a normal, quote-unquote, normal life. You know, towards the end, they kind of fell into addiction. And well, you got any words around that, Sam Keller?
So, well, the one thing I've noticed about life is the only thing that's consistent in it is inconsistency, right? Yeah. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. When you're up, it's never good as it seems. When you're down, you never feel like you can get back up. But when you enable a person and give them the tools that they need to be successful, they don't have to stay down there, you know? You don't have to, like, when you're on the streets, you suffer like everybody else, but you suffer in public.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. That's not an easy thing to do, and like you're looked down on like a lower class of person. Like, you're only capable of doing this, and you're expected to only do that, and you're only supposed to be here, and
yeah, it's just not right. The thing I would add to that, which was really disheartening for me, is they lived right there under the bike path. But they got in, you know, the cops swept them out. They literally just said, "Hey, man, we're going to arrest you if you don't leave." And it forced them all further up into a north part of Chico in the channel. And one of the guys, his name was Dennis, and you would categorize him as being lazy. He barely moved, but he had a serious, serious, serious heart condition. And he ended up dying like 8 months after, you know, I shot that video there. But what was so disheartening to me is both Kevin and Billy Abernathy were like, you know, this is so terrible, because we had people that, like you, that would come and see us. We had people, we had a support network over there. We helped clean up the trash and everything else. And anyway, it's just a sad, sad story. Mama Rose's Thanksgiving dinner, 20th anniversary, man. That's what we're going to play next. Did you hear about that at all on the street? I did hear about it.
I heard about it. Unfortunately, I missed it. I haven't got to meet Mama Rose, but I would like to soon here. I heard it was on the 19th, and I heard it was great. And had gift cards, too.
I don't remember passing out gift cards. But anyway, We're gonna delve into that. You know, I love Mama Rose. If you're listening to Mama Rose and your family, we love you, and we can't wait. There'll be a Christmas one coming up too. Mama Rose, man, she don't play around. Two big ones, Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Keep setting the good example. She does. All we have out here is each other.
That's bingo, man. I can't say any better than that, Sam Keller, here on People Powered Radio.
I'm here with Larry, man. It's really good to see you, Larry. I haven't seen you since like February when the farm broke up. But hey, we're here at Mama Rose's Thanksgiving dinner. This is your first dinner, right, Larry?
Yeah, the first Thanksgiving dinner with Mama Rose, yes.
How important and precious is it to break bread with people, man, here in the park?
It's awesome. It's like a little family get-together, a little family reunion.
It is. I feel the same way. I see about 10 or 12 people I've known throughout the course of my time here in Chico. You know, it's nice to have some turkey legs.
No, the turkey's awesome. I like the yams better, but
yams.
The turkey's good.
Thanks a lot, Larry. What about you, Crystal?
It's always good to come together at one point and, you know, realize that we're here. I mean, you know, you got that constant trying to get rid of us, but we're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. As much as we try, we're still here. And we like to do the family thing a lot, but no, we don't get it as much as we need to.
Community is everyone. That's what I see here. I see everyone coming together, making Mama Rose happy. She gets real happy seeing everyone.
I'm here with Maximus here. From Thanks, the Crystal. Open mic, and we're here just enjoying Mama Rose's 2017 Thanksgiving dinner for the homeless. Welcome to KZFR, Maximus.
Hey, Bill. How are you doing?
It's doing great. What do you think about this, man? What do you see as you look out at this park of people eating and gathering together?
Well, I think it's really a wonderful event. It's very peaceful, and I feel really happy to be here and seeing people getting their needs met, their primary needs, I must say. You know, you need for some food, and I saw them all lining up and getting ready to eat something, and it really moves me. It really moves me to see. I see a lot of camaraderie, and I see a lot of people trying to connect with each other and having a good time, and parents and children and families and.
It's overflowing with hospitality and fellowship, huh?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm here. I was invited by Naomi, whom I met at the Shalom Clinic, and she asked me to come over here, and I said, oh, sure, I'll come check it out.
Any final comments, Maximus?
It's really nice to be here. So I say it's great that something like this is happening, and this lady, Rosa, or what is her name again?
Mama Rose, Rose Adams.
Mama Rose, she is great that she organizes this, and it really fulfills the needs, that's for sure. Yeah.
Thanks, Maximus.
You're welcome.
Out here with Mama Rose. Mama Rose, what do you got? How special was this today?
It was special. I didn't think it was going to turn out. I really didn't. No turkey left. 50 pounds of mashed potatoes gone. Nothing left. Nothing.
50 pounds? This is the biggest one I've been to.
50 pounds. I know. Look, I mean.
Is this the first time you've done it in 20 Street Park?
Yes. Yes, because I've always done it in my own home when I had a home. But it was so cool. So,
always look so happy.
I don't know how to explain what I feel right now, but I know it's powerful.
I think I got it in the picture. How did you put all this together homeless? You had folks that helped you out with kitchens and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I have people that cook my turkeys and every year. A couple of them leave, now I get a couple more. And it works out. That's all that counts. It works out.
It's a beautiful thing. I've seen a lot of beautiful things here, Mama Rose, including you. Any final comments?
I love y'all. Just want everybody to be happy. I love y'all.
I remember when I first met you, and that's one of my favorite quotes from doing this journalism. You'd said, I wish everyone could be poor just for 1 week. Just for 1 week, and they'd know what it would feel like. What would you add to that?
I don't know. I just know that if that was to happen, there wouldn't be all these people that was that word I want?
Looking down on you, dehumanizing?
Yeah, I might as well say that. Yeah. They'd know what it's like, you know, because we don't choose, some of us don't choose to be here.
Most of us. And every time someone says someone's homeless by choice, ask them why only poor people make that choice. What do you think about that?
Only poor people make that choice.
Yeah, right?
You know what gets me? What gets me is the people who do have homes and put their nose up on us, or down on us. Guess what? This woman don't have a home. I still feed the homeless every Sunday. The feeling that it gives you is so immaculate, and it's so just, it's cool.
That's a good word, immaculate. That's how we're in. You look immaculate, Mama Rose.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to pause there. I actually still have a couple of interviews, but you'll see why I kind of broke it out there. But back live in the studio with Sam Keller. And Sam Keller is a representative of the quote-unquote houseless community. And what'd you think about what you heard, and what are you doing for Thanksgiving, Sam Keller?
Thanksgiving, I'm away from my family, so I usually just try to just sleep it away and
sleep
solitude.
It away, baby.
Yeah, with a liquid blanket.
Yeah, man. Yeah, the cops probably don't come around as much on Thanksgiving, right? You get a little bit of a break, I hope.
I would hope so.
Yeah, huh?
Geez, you know what's even scarier than the cops is actually the security police. These guys have 48 hours worth of training. They're armed to the teeth. I mean, these guys are better equipped than our troops, right? And they used to be paid for by the Downtown Business Administration, but all of a sudden now there's more of them because the PBID got passed through, which is still just a tax on these people that are still in the same group. So, like, they're not taking orders even from a municipality. They're taking orders from the Downtown Business Administration. So, like, they're enforcing laws that don't even exist. And, like, yeah. What I would recommend is if somebody comes up to you and has a question for you and they're armed and they're not a cop, call 911.
That's a good plan.
That is a good plan.
That is a really good plan.
This is an untrained person. It is not an if, it is a when. So they hurt or kill someone. That's scary.
Yeah, it just happened. Shout out to the memories of Tyler Rushing. Scott Rushing's dad's coming back up here, but he was killed at the title company. Yeah, he might have been in town when that happened. But I'm gonna shift gears and finish this interview. And the reason I'm saying shifting gears, this is a pretty stark one. In that, I had a chance to speak to Amanda, and Amanda was part of a. She'd finally gotten off the street. She'd been off the street just literally 2 days, and she was down there by MLK on the road there in an RV, and the damn thing burned to the ground. Sam Keller, they were trying to fix the carburetor, physically move it, and it burned to the ground. And she has a really poignant story. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but I have not had a chance to reach out to the fire department to verify some pretty distressing things that she had seen and I'm hearing collaborated throughout the community. But one thing I wanted to put, I put this on the intro for this, Sam Keller. This is what she says, man. I would live in a garbage can if it had water and a way to cook. I used to cook meals for the homeless like Mama Rose does when I lived in Stockton. You know, next year I wouldn't like to try to put together with some of our street angels, putting together a meal where people cook their own food, man. Give them a spot. What do you think?
That would enable people to be self-sustainable.
Yeah, man. Huh?
That's a crazy thought.
Yeah,
that's a crazy thought. Take care of yourself.
Yeah, that's what brings Mama Rose so much joy because she pulls the whole thing together.
It's great, and one of the best to me. It feels good providing for other people.
It does.
And I can't always have everything. I can't carry a 50-pound turkey on my back every day. Sometimes, you know, we got to take a load. Everybody's got to take their turn.
Yeah, but we do.
When we pool our resources and we're compassionate and we treat each other like human beings, like the system works. I can't believe in this day and age that we have to tell like city council members and officials and these lawmakers that like I have to go to the bathroom and drink water. Yeah. I might want to I can't stand under a ledge. The sit law, lay law. Like, this is a law that was made enforced by the Rights for Disability Act, saying that you're obstructing the path of a wheelchair. So, like, basically, you have so many homeless people in your sidewalks that you can't get a wheelchair down it. And the best thing you can do is pass a law against it.
Yeah, it's
Don't
crazy,
pass
man.
A law. Just actions speak louder than words.
Bingo, man. All right, let's listen up to this interview. This was filmed, it was audio recorded with some photography at Mama Rose's, it's about the 20th year she's been doing this down at MLK Park on the 19th here on People Power Radio. So I'm here, what's your name, ma'am?
Amanda.
Amanda, and she's Mendoza. Here at the, Amanda Mendoza, she's down here at Mama Rose's Thanksgiving party, and she just lost everything she had in a fire yesterday. Last Wednesday. I'm really sorry to hear that, Amanda. What would you like to share around that experience, that fateful night when your trailer burned up?
I'd like to know why nobody here, other than a homeless woman that happened to be driving by with her son, wouldn't call 911 for me. But they all took pictures and filmed it burned down, though. But nobody would call 911 for me. They all looked at me like I was crazy. And I'd like to know why it was more important for the firemen to save my air conditioner and take it with them than it was to save my dog. They drowned my dog, keeping the flames away from him so he could get my air conditioner off the roof of my motorhome. I'd like to know why that was more important than saving my home and my dog.
And you were accompanied by someone else, correct?
My husband was with me. He's a quadriplegic in a wheelchair. He couldn't save my dog. He tried, melted all of his hair to the side of his face, trying to get in there to save my dog because the fireman wouldn't do it.
And you were living in the motorhome?
We just bought it. We had it 2 days, and it had been sitting for years, so gas goes bad. And we were trying to get it started, to take it down to register it and insure it and all that, and it caught fire. the carburetor caught fire and wouldn't go out, and it caught my curtains on fire, and next thing you know, it was just engulfed in flames, and we couldn't put it out. I asked the fireman, he came and asked me, is it my name, and is there anyone in there? I said, my dog's in there, please get my dog. He says, I'll get right on it, and then went and stole my air conditioner and took it with him and drowned my dog. And then...
When you say you drowned your dog, it was because of the water he was pouring on the fire?
They're putting water in there to make sure the flames didn't reach him. Flames weren't anywhere near where my dog was yet. But they drowned my dog, keeping the flames away from him while he got my air conditioner off the top of the roof of my vehicle.
Did you make any report around that?
I was so grief-stricken about my dog. I love my dog more than I love my husband. Okay, that dog meant the world to me. And I'm not kidding when I say that. I love that dog more than life itself. And they didn't even try to save it. They didn't try to save my home. It took them 20 minutes to get here after they were called. You know, they're only 5 blocks away. They were worried about the tree that my thing was next to, putting that out more than my home. They asked my husband to take a paper to somebody here in the park. And while he went into the park and gave the paper to that person and came back, they were all gone. Nobody there. They never offered us any assistance. It's pouring down rain. My husband's in a wheelchair. No blanket, no assistance. Are you okay? Do you need medical attention? Do you need to go to the hospital? Nothing. Never asked us a damn thing or gave us any assistance. Nothing. And then left. Told us Red Cross was on their way. Red Cross, 2.5 hours later, when we called Red Cross because they never showed up, 3 times we had to call. They told us, we're not coming. We never were coming. And we're like, why? Oh, because we're homeless and because a motorhome doesn't qualify as a permanent residence. So we don't qualify for their help or assistance. And they never showed up. My husband's in a wheelchair. No shoes, no socks, no jacket, no sweater. All his hair's burned to the side of his face trying to save my dog. The man in a wheelchair had more guts than the fireman did to save my dog.
How's your husband doing now, Amanda?
He's fine now. But we're living on the goddamn street, you know. Sleeping on the cement at some business doorstep, you know.
What were you doing before your trailer, Amanda? Where were you living?
We were homeless.
You were homeless.
We were homeless.
So you had like a home just for a couple of days?
For 2 days we weren't homeless. And now we're just right back where we started from. I just bought $200 worth of groceries. I just got new clothes. I just rebuilt everything we lost the first time. And now it's all gone again. You know, I have nothing. You know, my money, everything was in there. Everything. I don't have nothing left. And it just sickens me how the people here wouldn't even call 911 for me because I was a homeless person. They look at me like I'm a disease or something. You know, I'm sick of it. You know what? If they only took the time to find out about some homeless people, to listen to them, they'll find out we're educated, we're smart. You know, I'm highly educated. I'm more qualified to do people's jobs in this town more than they'd ever believe. I held the key to people's freedom once. I worked in women's prison. I worked at the Enloe Hospital in the operating room. You know what? I'm educated. I'm not stupid. I'm just homeless. I'm so distracted. I think about everything that happened. It just makes me sick. I hate to cry in public. I don't like people to see me like this. But I'm just so sick of being treated like I'm some kind of disease just because I don't have a home. You know? People need to understand, you know what? We're just homeless. We don't have a home. Doesn't mean, you know, some of us are good people. Some of us aren't, you know? You're going to find that anywhere you go, though, you know?
Seems to me if you got money, they don't care whether you're a good or bad person at all. But boy, don't have any money, kick you to the curb.
Yeah, well, you got to understand, though, there are a lot of people out here who have made a bad name for homeless people because of drugs and whatever, whatnots. But there are those people like me and my husband and other people here. We want a better life. We want out. It just, society makes it hard, you know? You get labeled and, if they only knew, everybody out there, just know this, you're all one paycheck away from where I'm at. Trust and believe in that. It could happen to you just like anybody else. That's all I got to say.
All right. It's nice to have a meal here, though, today, huh?
Mama Rose is absolutely wonderful. If it wasn't for that woman, so many of us would probably go hungry today and go without. And this way we all get to come together and on a common thing. And it's just wonderful. Thank God for Mama Rose. Great woman.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little more of the backstory. I had actually seen this lady in the same spot where her trailer burned this summer, just scorching hot. Gave her a couple of bucks and gave her some water. And lo and behold, when I went over to Food Max, because I'd asked her, I said, what could I do for you? What could I really do for you to get you some comfort food? She wanted pears and whipped cream. You know, on my way over to the whipped cream, I could see exactly where the RV burned. But more importantly, you know, when she talked about people on the street that are giving the homeless a bad name, can't make this stuff up. There's no such thing, better thing than nonfiction. I'm going over to Food Max through the park, and there's three, I'll call them thugs after what I heard them say. I was riding my bike, and it was a quick interaction. But one of them says, man, I felt like hitting that woman in the face with an axe handle and taking her purse. So as he said that, I'm like, I wonder who they're talking about. And about 20 feet in front of me, there was a lady in a wheelchair. So I made a point of just stopping. I probably would have stopped to talk to her anyway, but I wanted to spend some more time with her. But she was literally living in the Tory shelter, mid-60s, maybe 63, 64, and she just had such a heart about her. You know, she's like, well, I can wheel myself over there. And, you know, I kind of told her, I said, you know, I'll come back. I'll come back and I'll give you a push, but I got to go get these pears. So I get the pears and the whipped cream and I come back, and she stopped pretty close to 20th Street. And I said, how are you doing? She said, well, I'm stopping to take my meds. And, you know, and anyway, I ended up catching up with her at the Tory shelter. Someone actually had seen her and pushed her all the way to the Tory shelter. But a beautiful part of the story is this. Bill, give us a few words on Mona. I'm here with my friend Bill, and I mentioned
Mona was
her,
a lady.
You said she was your babysitter when you were like 3 or 4. What's the deal?
Yes, it was when I lived in Gridley. I met up with her, and I recognized her face when I seen her. And she tripped on it. She didn't even know who I was, because I'm almost 60 years old, 58. And we get along very well, and everybody likes her.
And she's in the Tory shelter, man. I'm going to go over and give her a curb service, Bill.
Yeah, right on. Right on. Very nice.
Thanks for sharing that story. That was such a cool thing when I mentioned it. You're like, I know her. She was my babysitter, you know?
No, really. Yeah. I'm not making that.
I know you're not, Bill.
Ask her.
I will. I'm going to ask her right now. I'm going over to ask her right now.
Then this next one, I had actually filmed and recorded this on Veterans Day. And I took some time off after this. It wasn't just this interview, but my dear friend Tammy Donaldson and other street angels that helped out this veteran right here that you're going to hear about, Casey, disabled veteran in a wheelchair. He was in the military 10 years after I was. And, you know, take a listen to this and, you know, put a little love in your heart and have some thanks that, you know, you're not living in the life of Mr. Casey.
Hi, Gary, I'm Mash here for the Without a Roof Radio program. And I'm here with a fellow veteran, a fellow Navy veteran. He went in the Navy 10 years after me, 88, 92. Welcome to KZFR, Casey.
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to be here. Thank you for having me on your show.
So what's going on for you this time, Casey? I know you've been out here on the streets homeless for 4 months. You've suffered a traumatic brain injury back in 2003 that left you in a wheelchair. You know, give our listeners a little bit of understanding of the pain and suffering you're going through out here on the streets of Chico.
Well, it's more a matter of not being able. So my brain injury makes it so I do not have the ability to stand, and I can't, and because I can't stand, I can't walk. And therefore, that's why I'm in a wheelchair. And being in a wheelchair has been grueling this time, because it's in a wheelchair that's not ergonomically adjusted to be able to get around well. And it's made it to where I can't, like, move my stuff around. So my belongings and whatnot, I don't really have much belongings. It's just what I can wheel around on the chair. And so I move, and I am basically limited to a small radius or area of just basically a few blocks from where I lay my head at that night. And then it's now that it's getting to be the cold and rainy season, it's more difficult because I don't have the gear to, and hauling around is another issue.
So you're back out here because you used to be in a HUD-dash apartment, right? And you went through an eviction. If you'd like to share a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I was evicted, and they said for too many people coming by, that was an issue, and I'd been trying to keep it down, but I did have a difficult time. And I also had a neighbor that he would say, you know, things were because of my apartment. But that, I mean, all the people that came by, they weren't because of me. They came around anyway, and I was just a scapegoat for that situation. That's how I believe, but I was not adequately able to, you know, direct all the. So I took the brunt of the blame for a lot of what went on, and I wasn't able to fight it well on my own. My brain injury, you know, I my ego is like, I want to be like competent like I was at one time, but yeah, I should have, you know, I do need help, and I have left myself to where I don't have any help that would help prop me up or back my play.
You have you have memory issues still, correct?
Yes, definitely still. The first time I lost my place, it wasn't due to eviction, but they told me I needed to be out or get certain things fixed in the apartment. And I looked at $1,000 like that was way too much, and so I'm gonna just move out and not realize what that meant. But the thing is I didn't learn the lesson that first time, and I give myself a break because I know how I had a lapse of just like that whole period of time and not remembering certain people and different situations that happened. So I'm like, okay, I didn't remember the lesson from that first time, but this time I remember certain things that happened in losing in my place at the villa, and I'm like, I'm not gonna let that happen again. No, I am gonna start out and have this in mind and so to not let this happen again.
What would you, if our listeners are listening and you'd like some help or something they could do for you, what would that look like, Casey?
Well, to be honest, it would look like financial help, as well as I need a wheelchair and I should be able to get one through the VA or through Medi-Cal. It's just a matter of figuring out doing the paperwork. And it sounds so easy, but I certainly have not had an easy time with doing it. And I'm needing and wanting a three-wheel trike because I can't ride a bike. It just needs to have three wheels because I have the whole balance issue. I can't ride a bike because I would fall over, but three wheels I'd be able to ride and push it. And then I'm thinking a camper van, if a van that is able to where I'm able to, because I should be able to get a license and be able to drive because my feet work, my legs work, and I can drive. I have driven since this has happened. And so I can drive and to just have a roof over my head. So a camper van and getting into a place would be awesome.
What are some of the things you like to do, Casey? What are some of your hobbies?
Some of my hobbies. I do fantasize about different aspects of being. I go off into my head and imaginative, and I like to write, but then I don't get it. I'll tell you, the wheelchair has stymied a lot of my creative. I've painted in the past, and I like to draw, and I out here on the streets, I just don't do much of any of that because, for one thing, I lose everything. In the chair, I tend to lose pretty much everything. It's just like I just lost a phone, and I just barely got that phone. I paid $40 for that phone, and I was needing to hook it up with a service. I had the talk to text app, and then I need to have everything on a lanyard around my neck.
So you need what's called supportive housing, correct? You need really someone to help you, you know, with your day-to-day activities, correct?
Correct.
Any closing comments, Casey?
God bless. I do walk, so figuratively speaking, with honor and I do, like, it's been just lately I've gotten to where I have asked people if they could help me with some money, but I go about it and I do it with, like, you know, I don't need to go about it like I'm like in a such a like a lowly place. I do it where, you know, I have to get myself into the place, the headspace to ask and to talk with pride, because I need to remember and hold on to that pride that I have in myself as a person and be strong in that and not feel like I'm some lowly person who's like just a succubus sucking someone for what, and that is my mentality. No, that is not my mentality. My mentality is that, you know, I'm trying to get along, and yeah, I have, but I know I wouldn't be in this place of being on the street in this low place if I was ambulatory like I had been at one time, because I was so much more capable of being productive. And it's just very difficult to be productive in the chair.
Then also you had said you'd made a mention because it was really full. It's cool because I can tell that both of us are leave no trace kind of people. You know, I brought Casey some bananas and you'd put them on your legs to kind of throw them away. And I said, I'll take that for you. But you'd made some comments around, you know, what you've been seeing out here this time around from people like, quote unquote, making messes that you in a wheelchair have to clean up. Maybe you'd share a little bit about that to close.
Well, yeah, being around certain people, and I'm like, why the trash that is left. And people produce a lot of trash, but the thing is like I am a no mess left behind kind of guy because I used to backpack up in the mountains in Washington. So anyways, I have a difficulty with the messes and they would be left behind, and the mentality of like, oh, screw it because they have different things or whatever's going through their head to where they don't feel like they are responsible for their own messes. But I would like clean up and other people would too. They were ambulatory and get around and help me. But anyways, that is a problem that I have as well is the messes that are left. Because if the homeless community would just like take responsibility for cleaning up after themselves, then there wouldn't be such a stigma, I believe, right now as there is. And I guess it also has to do with not being respectful of other things as far as talking or whatnot. I'm not really sure, but the messes I do, it's easy to pinpoint that.
Yeah, so I'm going to do a shout out for all my fellow vets, wish them well on this Veterans Day, Armistice Day, and you know that they protected and served with honor, and no one should go homeless. I don't care whether they've got service time or not. What would you add to that on this Veterans Day, Casey?
I would add that to a salute to the fellow vets out there, and the honor that each vet carries of just having been in the service and been knowing that camaraderie and that connection. It is something that is due honor, and I hold my head up with that.
All right, man. Shout out to all the people helping him out, all the street angels. You know who you are. A little bit more of a backstory. I'm gonna end the show with a little comment from Sam Keller around this, but I think it's important for his story. I actually had interviewed him prior to putting a mic on him, and I wanted him to just say what was on his mind. But I think it's important to know, and he wants people to know his struggles. But Casey adheres to what's called the 2-and-2 rule: no more than 2 days of heroin and 2 days off. And those 2 days off, he has no rules regarding meth. A lot of times, it's called 50-50. But in his own words, you know, this is a guy in a wheelchair, man, and it's tough. I really want to be in a place where I'm not looking for an escape from this world. I have a lot of mental anguish. How we take for granted what we have health-wise and how I miss standing up and seeing what is around me and to take a step. Wow. What do you got for us, Sam Keller, to close the show?
I wanted to point out that even the guy in the wheelchair that had every obstacle against him still wanted to contribute to society.
Yeah,
One of the greatest feelings that you can have is a sense of accomplishment, and he was willing to do that. And he's like, I keep it clean. Treat others how you want to be treated. Like, treat us like animals. We're going to act like it.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, Sam Keller. And Sam Keller, you can catch Sam Keller next Wednesday, man, the 29th, Chico Speaks, about homelessness, Cafe Coda, 7 p.m. Any quick comments on that, Sam Keller?
Bring your friends,
housed or unwise. Otherwise, and you can find us, Without a Roof, man. Just Google us. Google Without a Roof. We come right to the top. And we're going to join Non-Human Radio, a pre-record in progress, followed by Sue Hildebrand in The Real Issue. Thanks again, folks, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving.